Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States on 1150 AM. I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful love and support and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular spiritual and metaphysical radio shows in the Seattle area with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. On today's show, from now to 3 p.m. Pacific time, I'll be interviewing my friend Simon Parks live from England. And I know you'll love his interview. If you have any questions for Simon, I have a lot here already, but please email them to me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to ask him during this show as long as we have time. Then from 3 o'clock to 4, I'll be interviewing a wonderful light worker and TV host named Regina Meredith, who has her own live stream channel called reginameredith.com. She's also been serving as an anchor with Gaim TV in their new media division on open minds and healing. I wanted to tell you that Q has offered to give individual sessions to people around the world this Monday, May 18th, 2020, from 12 noon to 4 p.m. Pacific time for any sessions. Each session will be 30 minutes long and be done by appointment. Donations will be accepted for the nonprofit Immortal Peace Project and Out of This World Radio. There are 8 spots available. Several already have been booked. If you'd like to talk to Q and have a session with him, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. If you missed my Galactic Wisdom Conference in March, the entire conference is now available on Crowdcast for just $50. To watch it, just go to my website at galacticwisdomconference.com and just click on the live stream tab. Beginning July 4th, 2020 Independence Day, I'll be starting a new live stream show online with Robert F. Kennedy, Judy Mekovits, and Michiko Hayashi of the Immortal Peace Project as my first guest. The show will celebrate the ascension of this planet into the fifth dimension. And to do that, I'll be broadcasting live from Mount Shasta from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time. It's going to be a very special show because Mount Shasta is scheduled to shift into the fifth dimension in July. So we should be broadcasting from 5D on July 4th. I'll have more information next week and where and how you can listen. Or you can also check out my Out of This World Radio website at www.outofthisworld1150.com for more information. I'd like to thank my many sponsors of the show, especially Corey and Saul in Kirkland for their wonderful support, as well as Jessica and Randy in Mercer Island, Louise in Bellevue, Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, Dan and Ursula in Switzerland, and Tom Palladino and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. I don't want to spend too much time on this today, but the virus is beginning to disappear, and I don't think it'll be a much of a problem by next month. The only problem I see is with some government leaders in which they're using the virus to institute a police state, which is most unfortunate. We can probably talk about this later, but President Trump and Attorney General Barr in Washington, D.C. have asked the public to report governors of state like Washington, my state, who have illegally violated the U.S. Constitution. And I know many people are concerned about what's going on here. And so if you are concerned, please contact President Trump. I'll be giving away free promotional advertising to all small businesses by the shutdown to help them get back on their feet this month and through the summer. If you'd like some free promos on my show, I'm happy to help any way I can. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website, provides wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who support my show, Angelic and Earthly Family, and of course KKNW and Eric, whose help and support, without their help and support, this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, where you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. The cost for a full reading is $100. But if you like, I can also extend the special rate I've done for people for just $50 for a full 1 hour reading. I'm also going back to Mount Shasta this year from July 1st to the 8th and be broadcasting my special Ascension show from Mount Shasta on July 4th. We always meet Adama and the people of Telos while we're there, and we always experience many miracle healings. My eyesight was restored to perfectly clear 2010 eyesight in September of last year after Adama and the people of Telos gave me a miracle healing. Others have been healed of Lyme's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, and one lady was even given a new pair of legs so she could walk again without crutches or a wheelchair. The cost is just $200, and if you'd like to go, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Unfortunately, my trip to Peru has been postponed this month, but we'll be going now October 1st to the 18th, and we'll be visiting Machu Picchu and lots of really interesting spiritual places in Peru. I've contacted the Peruvian embassy in Washington, D.C., and they said that their shutdown should be ending within the next month or so. So I've decided to postpone it till October. It's spring there. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And finally, I have a few bottles left of special Hado vibrational healing water to protect people from the virus. And if you'd like a bottle of the water, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And we're just asking for donations and postage for the bottle. I want to thank everyone finally so much for donating money for food for the Hopi. Martha Childress, my good friend in Sedona, has been delivering food to the Hopi for the last couple of weeks. And now I think probably over 100 families now have gotten food thanks to your donations and her weekly deliveries to the elderly Hopi. There's several villages on the Hopi Reservation on the First Mesa, apparently many elderly haven't eaten in weeks. And so it was an emergency situation. And now we've gotten in, I think, about 1,500, give or take. And that money goes directly 100% to buy food for the Hopi. And I want to thank Martha so much for delivering that to them. We're continuing to gather donations. This is an ongoing program until the state can get everything opens up again. So if you'd like to donate to a good cause to help the Hopi get food, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Now I'd like to bring on my friend Simon from England. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. I'm fine and very pleased to be on your radio show.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's so good to have you here. I have to ask you, I've had several questions. What are things like in England now? Are they still locked down, or are there plans to open up the country again soon?
There's been a reduction or a relaxation. The problem, I think, because British people, you know, we live on an island, and so we are a little bit different from the European people. We're more like Americans in many ways. We're not at all like most of the Europeans. And although we've got a relaxation, it's still very difficult. And as a result of that, I think that, you know, if we didn't have what we call the National Health Service, that is our medical service, which of course we get free, if we didn't have that and the huge commitment we have for all the doctors and nurses, I think we would have had a lot of demonstrations. But the way that the British people are seeing things is that if they go out and take a risk and get ill, they put more strain on the hospital. And because, of course, our hospitals are not private, they are paid for by the state. Everyone's very conscious that they want to try and keep that going. So British people, generally speaking, have taken it very well, but predominantly for the hospitals. For instance, at 8 o'clock every Thursday evening, people are encouraged to go out and clap or do something, play a musical instrument or something, just for 1 minute to signify their support for the National Health Service. So a very different culture here.
Well, that's good that people are getting together. You know, I think it's if you had asked me last year, Simon, whether I would think anything like this would happen, I would say, how could it ever anything like this happen? But it has happened. But it has brought out, even though it's been hard on many people around the world, it has brought out a time for people to spend more time with their children and families, and as well as a time for reflection and ability to help one another. Have you seen a lot of more people helping each other there in your home country there in England?
I tell you what we have seen, and you guys will have seen it as well, on YouTube, people being more family orientated, doing things that are more fun, sharing a little snippet of their life, what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that for many people, what this has done is forced them to reevaluate not just their lives, but the whole value of the system. In other words, you know, what is more important, you know, your motor car, your cell phone, or something to eat. Now, I know that's pretty dramatic, but the reality is that a situation like this makes people really think about what's important in the life. So I don't think that the human race will be the same when we come out of this, and we will. Mm-hmm. I think that the lesson has been very valuable, and I think people will change for the better.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to President Kennedy in meditation 2 weeks ago, Simon, and he said that the whole planet now is getting much more more like a ball of light. It's like before this virus thing occurred, he said it was about 60-65% light, and now it's like 80%. So that's a tremendous increase, and it signals that we're going to be shifting into the higher dimensions even sooner than we thought.
Yes, I think the virus in itself hasn't caused it, but the reaction to it has sped up the development.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. I don't know. I have to run this by you. I've had several questions about it, both here in Washington State and the Seattle area, as well as nationally. There have been attempts to do what's called track and trace orders. There has been a bill, I'm sure you've heard of it, called the HR bill with 666. Of course, 666 in the Bible is Mark of the Beast. And it's been introduced in the House of Representatives as a way to track and trace people. Our own governor here, Governor Inslee in Washington State, has already instituted a track and trace order starting on Tuesday, in which case he has the National Guard going from house to house with the authority to take children and people out of their homes into forcible detention. Of course, this violates the Washington and U.S. constitutions, as well as 150 years of statutory protections against such government action. Have you heard much about that, and would love your opinion on it?
Well, I think any religious person, regardless of the faith, resist this, because the number 666 relates directly to the part of the Bible called Revelation, and it's the mark of the beast. Anybody of any religious persuasion will resist this. I think that whilst I'm not clear, I'm not advocating civil war. I'm not advocating civil war. If people turn up on the doorstep to take someone's children away, there will be a gun battle. And the governor obviously doesn't want to be re-elected next time around. I mean, politicians generally, and governors and lieutenant governors generals, tend to do things which mean they have a chance of being re-election. But sometimes these governors are so blackmailed or under the control of another organization that they will do things that are political suicide. So clearly the governor does not wish to be re-elected. He wants to set himself on a collision course with the people. And regardless of whether you're religious or not, if someone turns up in your doorstep and says, I'm taking the children off you, you know, then you retreat into the house, they come in, then you can claim home invasion. And it'll be very interesting to see the lawyers fight it out for the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Governor Inslee here in Washington State issued an executive order on March 25th, 2020, for the shutdown and for authorizing this track and trace order. The order expired actually on March 25th. The order expired on April 25th, and under the statute, RCW section 43.200.020 parentheses 4, these orders can only last 30 days. And after April 24th, he's now been operating without any legal authority to track and trace people or continue to shut the state down. Oregon, which is next door, their governor was sued by a bunch of people, I think it was last week, for violating the same kind of constitutional provision in the Oregon Constitution. So far, no laws. I think there are several lawsuits against Inslee now going through the federal and state courts. But it's going to be interesting to see how things play out.
Yeah. Well, I we try not to be overly political, but you can't help it here. The situation is quite clear that you've got a whole bunch of governors following some sort of socialist, leftist, almost communist agenda. And you, of course, have got election year. So I don't understand why a political party will do this when they know there's an election coming up. They clearly don't want to be elected. And it's very stark in America. You've got the president who says, you know, we need to get back to work. We need to open things up. We can't go on like this. You know, if we need an economy to pay people's jobs. And then you've got these governors on you know, doing very nicely, thank you very much indeed, totally out of touch. I'm, as a person in Britain looking into America, I'm just completely confused by it all, frankly.
Well, I'm confused too. I know that on May 2nd, President Trump issued a tweet where he wanted to open up America and ordered many federal agencies to open to the public. What's interesting is that many federal offices here in the state of Washington and the Seattle area are still completely closed. And you have to ask yourself, I know I did some checking, whether they follow the orders of President Trump as a federal employee or of the state government, which has ordered this shutdown. But it's going to bring up some interesting questions, certainly. And it's the most exciting show in the universe right now, I think.
Right. You might find that the employees come under the federal legislation, but the building they operate out of might belong to the governor or control of the governor. So if the governor says, I'm keeping the building locked, then it doesn't matter if the employees are operating under federal law, they can't get in. So there's one possibility. The other possibility is, I'm afraid, Washington State, where you are, is one of the biggest cabalistic states in the whole of the United States. Some years ago, Seattle was the only city, any city in the United States, that did ride along where FEMA guards were riding along with the regular cops. And so when there was a 911 call, then you would get a regular cop and a FEMA guy turn up, and the only difference between them was the badge on the left shoulder. Now, that was a number of years ago, and Seattle and that area, I'm afraid, it needs a clean out. It absolutely needs an earth mover. It needs a bulldozer right through the middle of it.
Well, this is a little known fact, but Inslee's daughter, Emily Inslee, works for Gates in Seattle. So anyway, it's an interesting place to live. I know from the studio, Gates himself lives only about 2 miles away on Mercer Island.
Right. Well, you know, you're there to put the light in.
Thank you.
We tend to go where we need it. Right. Or the bad people go where they feel at home. So there's no coincidence that he's there, and it's no coincidence you're there to fight against it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Simon. It's very, very kind of you to say that. Along with that line, you had a post on your website. I have a bunch of questions, too, but I'm trying to pick out the most important. Elon Musk, that he was brought in for questioning, and then an arrangement was reached between him and the White Hats. And then suddenly he's changed his tune. He reopened his factory and told Governor Newsom, if you arrest anybody, you arrest me. Have you heard anything more on that? That's a fascinating story.
Yeah, it's not available anywhere else. That hasn't, to my knowledge, that news isn't on any other Truth website anywhere on the planet. Right. I did put it in brackets. When I said he was brought in for questioning, I used those words because that tells the audience what the situation is. The reality was that he was spoken to out in the open. So he wasn't brought in to a police station. He was spoken in an outside environment.
I see.
And this is all goes back to Jeffrey Epstein. So the information that Jeffrey Epstein has provided, some of that has been very helpful in talking to Elon Musk to get him to decide that, you know, it's probably better to be this side of the railroad tracks than the other. And so he, I don't know if you caught his latest, it's rather amusing, really. I think it's something along the lines of people who want to keep America locked up need to be strung up. He's become excellent asset for the course of light. This guy knows the way it's going, and he's you know, singing and playing a different tune.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, people can change. Everybody makes mistakes, and I'm so glad that he's making some good decisions now. There's a couple of news stories. I have to tell you what came out last week or the week before. Oregon's Governor Brown issued an order saying that no sit down restaurant would be allowed ever again within the state of Oregon. Never allowed. And Your reaction to that, Simon? Any comments on that?
Well, there's another one who doesn't want to be reelected. Honestly, you know, you can't, in the number one country in the world, and I'm not being disrespectful to other countries, this is the reality. Right. The number one country, you cannot say to, you know, you guys have got a constitution. Never forget that. You can't say to people who have a constitution, hey, you've got a business, and you run like this business, but by the way, I'm going to destroy your business because I'm not going to let you have a sit-down service. Who is he to tell small family businesses who've been maybe going for many years that they've got to go broke? It just shows, and I'm glad this is coming out because, you know what? People are going to have a vote this year, and they will remember those people who tried to support them, and they will remember those who did not, and they'll use the cross on the whatever it is on the machine. They'll vote. So clearly, that man doesn't want to be re-elected. He's obviously decided that it's too hot for him, and he better go.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to run this comment by you from Robert F. Kennedy. He was on my show a week ago, and he said that for every 1/10 of a percentage point in unemployment that rises, Simon, there's 4,000 deaths, and it's usually from social isolation, alcoholism, domestic violence, all kinds of things. These are statistics that he quoted himself from the CDC, Centers for Disease Control in the States. And so the unemployment rate in the United States was 3.5%, Simon, before the virus hit, to now it's something like 35%. And he said, using the government's own statistics, that the number of people dying from the shutdown, the economic shutdown alone, would be something approximately 1.1 million people here in the United States. And he compared that with the number of corona deaths, allegedly, as about 60,000, give or take. It's hard to know whether they're correct because they do inflate the numbers. But it's something from 60-odd thousand people corona to 200,000. That would be something like a 20 times increase for the shutdown.
Well, I don't want to take anything away from the Kennedy family, but if you look back, President Trump 3 weeks ago was making the point that I think he was using the word depression or mental anxiety. He was saying, you know, there would be issues of family violence, you know. So he was one of the first, shall we say, leaders to actually begin to try and put points across that, you know, it's not just about the virus.
Sure. And that's good. That's good. That's good. Finally, there was a video that just came out a few days ago. If you like, I can send it to you later, Simon. It says that there was a repairman in the UK somewhere, and he's installing 5G, and he opens up this box. The whole thing's filmed. And inside this 5G box, Simon, was a sticker that said, for COVID-19, sticker 19. And he said he didn't make this up. It was there. It's hard to tell whether it's fake or not. But I wanted to run that by you. That's on the internet.
Thanks. I have no knowledge of that at all. I don't know.
Okay. There was something else interesting that Paul in Seattle wanted me to ask you about. In I've got the specifics here. There were two bills introduced last year in the U.S. Congress. One was H.R. 269, the Pandemic Preparedness Act. And then another, that was in January 2019. And the second one was Senate Bill 1379, the Pandemic Innovation Act of 2019. They were both introduced about preparing the country for a pandemic from a virus, along with other things. And it was signed into law, too. And you have to ask yourself, did these congressmen, is there evidence from what you know that people in Congress actually knew about this virus before it happened?
Very, very few of them. The virus was always planned to be released, probably between 9 months and 12 months before it happened. The decision was taken to do it. Bills through the houses are that's just a smokescreen. The reality was to try to get traction for vaccines, for inoculations. That's the whole point of that. It wasn't so much a war game to see how things worked out, because the bad boys have already done that. And so absolutely, the virus was planned between 9 months and 12 months. But as I've said before, it was never, regardless of what other people say, it was not designed to be released in China. That was a mistake from their point. The virus was supposed to have been smuggled out of China and released in America. We think probably New York. So the governor of New York would have been in a bit of a shock. So we believe that the virus was planned to be sneaked out of China and released in America. But the timing was about, I don't know, 4 weeks earlier than they planned to release it.
Interesting. Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. We've had lots of questions. I'm trying to pick out, here's one. This is from Wes, and I'm not sure where Wes is. He might be in the States, I'm not sure. He said, some time ago, you and Simon spoke about the events and how this time in our history would affect the future for the next 100 or 1,000 years. How are you looking at things now, Simon? I mean, it's been a lot of things, so many things are going on. It's hard for me to keep up. But what from what your perspective, how does the future look?
When great events present themselves, the events in themselves, the events in themselves are not important. What's important is how the majority of humanity responds to it. So if you take a planet like Earth with its populations, and then you hit it with a series of very shocking events, the way that that community responds will dictate how humanity, or whichever group it is, in our case humanity, how humanity will shape its own future. Now, we didn't get the dirty bomb. We didn't get that side of it. We got the virus.
Right.
The governments of the world generally have lent towards the cabal, so they've generally done what the cabal wanted. However, the human spirit was not affected in the way that the cabal expected. So what I see is a quickening up of the development of humanity. So far from slowing it down or derailing it, actually what's happened is that the timeline for humans to throw off the prison, if you like, has actually shortened.
Fascinating. That's the same message that I got too. That's the same message I got like yesterday, the same message that everything's been speeded up. And that's one of the reasons why I'm having an ascension show at Mount Shasta on July 4th, Independence Day, because if things go according to what they tell me, Shasta will be in the fifth dimension. So I'll be broadcasting from the fifth dimension for my third dimensional radio show. So hopefully it'll work okay. Anyway, you had a fascinating article from a fellow named Michael Zemet, Malta's ambassador, who called German leader Merkel a person who's fulfilled Hitler's dream to control Europe.
Yes.
I love your opinion on that. I read the article and went through it.
Okay. So. Well, in case some of your audience didn't pick that one up, this ambassador just literally tweeted out, sent messages out saying that Angela Merkel had achieved what Adolf Hitler had not achieved, mm-hmm. In the sense that Germany was now the master of Europe.
Right. Well,
he was referring to the economic and political control, not the military control. And he likened Angela Merkel to Hitler. And then before anybody sacked him, he just promptly resigned. Hmm. Now, 2 points here. The first point is he clearly understands the genetic connection that most people don't understand between Angela Merkel. But he also understands that Germany, under the cabal, which it is controlled at the moment, wants to dominate Europe, not militarily, but economically, and then start putting the pressure on. And I'll just quickly finish by saying the whole point about this European Union was to help each other. Sounds very good.
Right.
However, when the virus hit, what did we see? We saw Germany and France keeping everything for themselves and basically telling others to go hang themselves, to so much to the extent that both the Italian Prime Minister and the Spanish Prime Minister are on public record saying that Europe has hung them out to dry. So this has fundamentally destroyed the confidence that the poorer countries like Spain and Italy have over the richer countries like Germany and France. It's a fundamental change.
Wow, amazing. I'm getting additional questions in. I'll get through them as quick as possible. This is from Mark. He's a doctor in Massachusetts, and he writes, thanks so much for your generous spirit, Ted and Simon. Simon, Connecting Consciousness is my source of truth, and I appreciate your courage and insight. President Trump suggested today that a vaccine could likely be developed by the end of 2020 in the United States. If you endorse it, it's probably safe, but as a United States physician, I'm skeptical anything produced this quickly could be safe and effective. Interested in your thoughts.
Right. The British Prime Minister, bless him, is on record saying he does not believe there will be a vaccine in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you will find is two vaccines available, one from Mr. Gates and the Gates Foundation, and one coming from a completely different source.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that as long as President Trump is the president of the United States, any vaccine will be voluntary. If you have a different president, I believe that the vaccine will be made mandatory. I have absolutely been told that President Trump will not sign into law mandatory vaccination, but I know that the other side, if they should win on November the 3rd, they will sign vaccines mandatory.
There was a Facebook post I wanted to share with you this morning that I saw with, I think it was Photoshop, but I have to share it with you, Simon, you'll laugh. It's a picture of Justin Trudeau in Canada with a Chinese flag behind him, saying that he just issued an executive order to mandate vaccinations across Canada. Any news on that? That might be too new. I don't know.
I would be terribly surprised, although I do know for a fact that a number of these cabal-controlled countries have attempted to prevent guns being bought. It's interesting that a number of countries said that their gun shops should close, but in America, because he knew what was coming, President Trump said that gun shops were essential, and in fact, United States of America, more guns have been sold over this period than any other time in your history. Because American people, I think, understand something around the corner. Countries like Australia, Canada, where it's very difficult to get a gun at the moment, you know, they are more likely to try and push mandatory vaccines. They're more likely going to turn up on your doorstep and try and take children out of the family because they'll think that you're not in a position to protect yourself. When the founding fathers created the Constitution and then the changes that you had to it, they were done for a reason. It's almost as if those guys had a crystal ball and they could look into the future. And they said, how do we stop a particular government or a part of a government or a state government becoming like a demigod? How do we do that? I know. Right. We'll give people the right to defend themselves.
Right.
So that's where you are in America at the moment. And thank the Lord that you've got the Constitution and you've got the Second Amendment. Because if you didn't have the Second Amendment, I'd shudder to think what would be happening.
Right, right. Well, even this governor, Inslee, here in Washington State, has to obey what the courts tell him. So I think it's – I don't know how many lawsuits he's got against him now. I expect more will be coming. And that's good. It's good for us to have the Constitution. It's a base of freedom for people here, and it's served us well all these years. Not to change the subject, Simon, but I have gotten several questions about wearing the mask itself. One listener writes that the even the best mask only has protection between 2 and 10 microns, and because the coronavirus has a diameter of something like 0.15 microns, in other words, like 95% less, it can go right through a mask. So these masks are useless; they don't work. And what they are doing, though, however, is muzzling people psychologically. Kiko, I want to thank Kinko in San Jose for this comment for you. She said, during slavery times in the United States, black people were forced to wear a mask because it showed two things. Number one, they didn't have a voice. And number two, that they were controlled by their owner or somebody else. Carolyn in Olympia, Washington, sent me another link to a site where it talked about wearing a mask. It said, why you're wearing a mask, it's called the Pagan Ritual of Transformation, where if you enter into the Church of Satan, that they have these rituals do, and one of them is wearing a mask or a hood, so you mask your identity, and you're no longer a loving person. Your emotions are cut off, and so you can become like a thing that can be controlled. Anyway, they've got several questions on that for you.
Okay, let's do what we can with them.
Okay.
I totally agree. I can't argue against that. And I'll give you some evidence. Think right back to the beginning of this outbreak. The very first thing the world leaders, the cabal leaders, were told was don't shake hands. That's an important point. Because the virus is spread by touch much more than anything else.
Sure.
That's why they didn't shake hands. That's why... don't go out, bother with a mask, wear gloves. This is the point, because the virus in the air is not lasting very long, but when it falls onto a cold surface, it can last many hours. So you're much better protecting yourself by wearing gloves than a mask. You're right about the mask. The only masks that work are those masks that the medical professionals have.
Mm-hmm.
Just the thin masks, they're the proper masks. Those ones do work. And you know, why do you think they're wearing face shields? You know, they've got a plastic shield and they're wearing a mask because they appreciate that the virus can make it through. So you're better off you're wearing gloves and just keeping a reasonable distance away from people.
Sure.
That's the first point. The second point, you're absolutely right. That's why you know, people of a particular satanic line will go around the hoods wearing those hoods, because it's supposed to show that they don't have an identity. They are all part of a hive mind. They're all part of a connected club, and that they are not free thinkers. Now, I just quickly finish by saying it's not all bad news.
Right.
Because in Britain, people were concerned about getting on the public transport. You have to remember that in our country, we run a bus network and a train network 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
In many, many other countries, they just run it during the peak hours. Mm-hmm. In America, many services just peak hours. But in Britain, our culture is different. So, you know, there are buses and trains running all the time. People were frightened to get on those buses and trains. So if they wear a mask, they're actually going back to work because they're putting the mask on during the train journey, then taking the mask off and going to work. So in a way, it's become sort of a psychological prop, a psychological help. Even though it probably doesn't do much, it's allowing people to come back out of their house. So it's interesting, in Britain, there were some surveys done, the government did some surveys and found that people were genuinely frightened to go on public transport. So it's not mandatory, but it's been suggested, hey, listen, if you're going to go on a tube, wear a mask.
Interesting. You had, I've got another question from another listener. This is an old blog you had on your website, but it may be relevant to what Justin Trudeau has just done in Canada regarding the Canadian helicopter crash, where it was a helicopter from Armed Forces of Canada were taking part in a NATO operation in the Mediterranean, and it crashed off the coast of Greece. Do you think that is related to his vaccination announcement or not?
No, it's got nothing to do with NATO at all, and it's nothing to do with vaccination. The main operations have taken place on the mainland of the United States, not Hawaii, the mainland, and in the only other foreign country of any significance is Italy, although there has been a small operation here in Great Britain. But the point is that Canada, geographically, is politically involved with the United States, although the leader of that country is a cabal guy, there's no question of it. Mm-hmm. The crash was to do with other operations that were taking place. What's happening is that the cabal are now saying to their placemen, you've got to come out and do a cabal type thing, because if you don't, then we're going to come after you. So you've got a lot of people now in high positions doing things which seem totally crazy, but they're doing it because they've been told if they don't, then the New World Order or the cabal or whatever you want to call them are going to come after them. And I said this on my radio show, and I'll just repeat it because it's very important, please, Ted.
Sure.
That good people don't kill you. Good people prosecute you through the courts. So if you're a guy in an organization and a bad person comes to you and says, we want you to do this, you do it. Mainly because you don't want your wife killed or your children killed.
Right.
But if a good guy comes to you and says, hey, listen, don't follow them, come and follow me. And they'll say, yeah, but what can you do? You're not going to go and kill people.
Right.
You can't protect me forever. And this is the problem we've got. We've got these key leaders who are absolutely either blackmailed or mind controlled, mm-hmm. doing stuff simply because they are frightened of the other side. And that's now that the other side's twisting the knife, and so you're going to get these people coming out, and it's good because it's going to be in the public eye. You will be able to see now which side of the railroad lines these people really are.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point, and I hadn't thought about that. That's certainly true. This is questions from a couple weeks ago, but I think it's worth asking. Kim Jong-un, any news on him? He's sort of disappeared from sight, hasn't he?
He did have a medical problem.
Okay.
He did have a medical problem, and he was removed to the eastern part of the country. There's the resort sounds very grand, but it's a sort of a resort, and spy satellites detected his special train that was there, and a cavalcade of cars which were parked up, which were his. You have to understand that never mind the stuff that people talk about, the real stuff going on is that they can identify the license plate of these cars, and they know. So he went off. He was ill. He had some minor surgery. It wasn't life-threatening, it was minor surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now back in circulation. Now, when the South was asked about this, they played it very cool, because to have said anything else probably would have provoked war.
Sure.
They're very, very touchy. The North's very touchy about their leaders. So it was never life and death. Unfortunately, some of the overexcitable media, you know, I made the point that he was missing. He certainly was.
Sure.
But it was not life and death.
Sure. Okay.
He's back now. He's back in circulation.
Okay. Okay. Rebecca from the United States asks, here's the question. I'll give you a bit of background. In 2012, the London Olympics opening ceremony anticipated a pandemic, including scenes of medicos dancing. Her question reads: if it featured a tribute to the National Health Service, featured a stage filled with sick kids in hospital beds, and opened a theme music from The Exorcist. And she asked, did negative forces tell us ahead of time in 2012 that they're going to release a virus on the planet?
Yes, absolutely. The deep state, the cabal, have to, it's the universal law, have to tell people, but in such a screwed up way that it's very difficult to know what we're talking about. Now, what is interesting is that we had a medical professional in Great Britain many years ago called Florence Nightingale, and she was involved in what we call the Crimea War. So what you're referring to at the opening of the 2012 Olympics was a connection to Florence Nightingale. Now, it's no coincidence that the five or six emergency hospitals that have been built by the military in Britain are called Nightingale hospitals. It is, although what I would say is 99% of all the medical professionals haven't a clue. They're just told you're doing this, you're doing that. They're not even part of this. They're just carrying out their orders. But the people at the very top, yes, the questioner is absolutely right. This was planned and organized, but they didn't have a date for it. What I said was 9 to 12 months ago, then they had the date. But if we go back 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years more,
right,
they always
right.
planned to do it, but they didn't know when they would do it.
There was also that book by Dean Kuntz called, what was it called? Evil Eyes or Darkness, Eyes of Darkness. Which it wrote about a virus being released from a lab in Wuhan, China, and killing people, which was interesting. That was back in 84, 25 years ago? I mean, a while ago.
That, in my opinion, is not the elite warning us. That is someone with psychic powers able to look into the future and see a timeline and therefore write a book on it. I think that it's a bit like Nostradamus, looking forward, seeing something and thinking, I better put that into a book.
Interesting. This is another post, old post, but it's worth talking about briefly, about how the Pentagon has released a video of UFOs, but they didn't try to debunk them. Instead, they pushed the line unidentifiable. Which you wrote was a great leap forward toward disclosures.
I was delighted, delighted. It's the first time, in the history of the United States of America that the military or the government have not tried to sign off something. It's the very first time they basically said, we don't know what it is. Now, that's a really big movement, because always before it was either marsh gas, Venus, the Mars, or you know, a jumbo jet, or it could even have been Father Christmas. But now what they're saying is, we just don't know what it is. Now, that's a big move, which means it's not such a big move now to say, not only do we not know what it is, but it's not one of ours. So that'll be the next thing to watch out for. The next statement will be, it's not one of ours. And then down the line, it'll be, well, it's something else. And so they're going to take us through stages of gentle disclosure. But again, only if this president is in office. This president created the Space Force. He did so because he knows what's going on and he's prepared to be a bit more honest. You get another president in and it'll all just clam up again.
Right. With that, I have to tell you, I get questions periodically to ask you whether JFK Jr. might still be alive and planning to resurface, or is that, Wes asks, or is that nonsense?
That's a really difficult question to answer. There is a real possibility. There's a real possibility that if President Trump is reelected, and we just don't know, we don't know, but if President Trump is reelected, there is a real possibility that the next guy to run for president might be somebody who will be very interesting. Put it to you like that. I personally would like to see Donald Trump's son as a candidate as vice president, and you know, this guy that supposedly died all those years ago in a crash in the ocean.
Sure.
I'd like to see him running.
Okay, great. That would be amazing. That would be amazing, Simon. Carolyn asks about Dr. Tony Fauci. And it's amazing all the stuff he's done, bad things he's done. He committed $3.7 million over 6 years from the National Institutes of Health to the clinic in China, Wuhan, to develop this awful virus. Questions regarding, why do you think he's still there with Trump? Is it a case of, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer?
No, it's a bit more positive than that. Absolutely, in my opinion, so it's only my opinion.
Sure.
In my opinion, he was absolutely very connected to Bill Gates and what we would call the cabal. And then something happened, and he decided that he would put some distance between himself and the New World Order. And that is why President Trump tolerates him. That's why Trump, and that's the right word, tolerate is the right word. The guy is knowledgeable. There's no question of it. He's knowledgeable. But more importantly than his medical knowledge, he knows the other side. And
right.
So Trump is going to work with him because this guy can talk about how the other side think. Now, unfortunately, things switch. And I did say to you that the deep state and the cabal are sticking the knife in and they're twisting it. Now, what Fauci's just done last few days is come out at a Senate hearing and said some things the president didn't like.
Right.
But this is directly in the same way that other world leaders are coming out, because the cabal is now, you know, levering them. Now, it's difficult for Fauci because he's trying to come away from the dark side. He's trying to come away from the cabal.
But I see.
They still got a lot of stuff on him. Because, listen, if he hadn't, Trump would have got rid of him already. Trump would have
sacked
him. Trump doesn't hang about. If he doesn't like you, he gets rid of you. And the reason tolerating him is because this guy has turned from the dark side. But the dark side have still got their claws in him.
I see.
That's what's going on.
I see. Okay, great, Simon. We've got about a minute and a half left, and I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today, and please feel free to talk about anything you'd like.
Thank you. Doesn't your show go quickly?
Yeah, it always does when you have fun.
I talked a little bit about, you know, I had hoped to be in the U.S. by now, and that had been the plan. You know, this virus situation has made it difficult. So the plan is now the fall. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to coming over to the U.S. in the fall. And some people sort of misunderstanding. They think I'm sort of going on some sort of tour and going to go around and then I'm coming back. The point is that I won't be coming back for a while. So if everything works as we hope, and you know, the plan is to relocate to the U.S. for a good few years,
and wonderful.
then to come back to the old land to retire. So that's the plan. Who knows what will happen? But I certainly want to be in the U.S. before November 3rd.
Wonderful, Simon. Well, we wish you well, my friend, and I'm so happy you could come on today. Thanks again for all your wonderful work. Really appreciate it.
God bless to the audience. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Simon, so much for coming on today. Have a beautiful day. Okay. Bye-bye. Cheers. Please stay tuned, and we'll be right back.